Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So hello and happy Friday, everyone. To begin the Brian Lehrer Show today, it's the strong gains in employment figures just announced. Then our New Jersey editor, Nancy Solomon, from the Darun Ravi trial courtroom. Is everyone's privacy being violated again? But yes, strong job growth for the second month in a row, just announced by the Labor Department this morning. Peter Coy, economics editor for Bloomberg Businessweek, joins us. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Brian.
And non-farm payrolls up in February by 227,000, exceeding projections. What does the number mean?
It's a great number. And not only that, but the January number was revised upward to 284,000. And this caps a six-month period that's the strongest since 2006. 2006, of course, is back before anybody was talking about Lehman Brothers or AIG or Ninja Loans.
That was the height of that.
Boom was, the height of the housing boom.
So say this again. What exactly is similar to the height of the housing boom?
That we have had a sustained six-month period of job growth that is the strongest since back then.
And why do they express it as non-farm payrolls? Agriculture isn't a real sector of the economy?
Well, when you work on a farm, it's never clear if you're just living on the farm or working on the farm. It's a harder thing to say, is that, you know, an employment thing? So they separate it out. That's completely standard. But the unemployment rate, 8.3%, did not improve. But even that is not entirely bad news, because the reason it did not improve is that you had an increase in denominator. In other words, the number of people in the labor force that grew. You had almost 500,000 people who entered the labor force in February alone. Probably a lot of them were people who had gotten out of the labor force because they had just given up, and now they're starting to be emboldened to go around looking for work, and they don't always find it right away, and that's why you could have payrolls increasing and yet the unemployment rate not falling.
However, there is also an underemployment number that I saw, which went down slightly. That is, got worse slightly. It's still around 15%. That's unemployment, including people who have given up or want to be working more. Is that a more important number than job growth?
The job growth number is probably the single most important number, because if that's going up, then eventually all these other numbers, start to improve as well. The bottom line is you need to have companies hiring, and we're seeing that now. And the good thing is that it starts to become a virtuous spiral, because when people are hired, or even if they're more optimistic that that the jobs they already have are safe, then they start to be willing to spend more. That creates more income for companies. They add more workers, and, you know, we're off to the races. That's what we've been waiting for ever since the recession technically ended back in the summer of 2009. It hasn't happened, but maybe now it's starting to happen.
And listeners, if you have any questions or comments about these good new jobs numbers out today, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. There are already a few skeptical posts up there, which we will get to.
Of course.
Peter Coy from Business Week, my guest. But if you're going to frame this in terms of comparing it at all to the height of the bubble years in 2006, here's another way, I think, to look at the big picture. We have more than 500,000 additional jobs in the last 2 months, which is good, but 300,000 of those just keep us steady with population growth. And at the height of the financial crisis, 2008-2009, the nation was losing 500,000, even 700,000 jobs every month. So we still have a pretty deep hole to dig out of just to get back to even from 2008, don't we?
Oh, that is so true. I mean, the point is not that we have a healthy labor market. The point is that it's getting better. It's the light at the end of the tunnel phenomenon, which says, hey, we can deal with our spirits are more affected by the direction we're going in than the level we happen to be at the moment. I mean, we are certainly in a deep hole. Heidi Shierholz at the Economic Policy Institute put out a note this morning if it was cheering the number, but pointing out that we still have 5.3 million fewer jobs than we had before the recession began way back in December 2007. Not only that, but we should have been adding jobs just to keep up with population growth. We should have had added 4.6 million. So that's a net swing of right around 10 million jobs short of where we would want to be at this point.
Of course, there are political implications for these numbers. Jobs so important to the reelection of any sitting president, and we'll get to some of the politics. But still looking at the numbers, here's what Rick Santorum might call the unemployed snob number. You ready? For people 25 plus with bachelor's degrees, 4.2% unemployment. People with only high school diplomas, 8.3% unemployment, nearly double. No high school diploma, 12.9%. Is that much different than a generation ago, those comparisons?
You mean the disparity between the different groups?
Exactly.
Actually, it is worse. I don't have the numbers at my fingertips, but the returns to education, as economists like to say, have grown. It's become more and more of a problem to be undereducated in this society. It goes to the whole idea that the nature of work has changed. Fewer and fewer jobs require less than high school education. Most of the good jobs that pay anything require at least some college. And that's why so many people say we need to increase the education in this country if we hope to have any hope of having good living standards for the society as a whole.
And we should point out that the racial gap persists and worsens. The February jobless rate for whites dropped to 7.3%. That's down 0.1. But black unemployment rose to 14.1%. That's up a full half a point. Hispanics were unemployed at a rate of 10.7%, so about halfway between blacks and whites. But that also rose by 0.2%, two-tenths of a percent, while unemployment was going down for whites. So are there policy implications of a widening racial income gap where only whites are making gains and Hispanics and blacks are falling even further behind?
Yes. Having said that, you're comparing to January. If you look at the one-year trend, things look a little better. You see the rate down for blacks and Hispanics and whites. So the narrower you get with the numbers into smaller groups, the more fluctuations you tend to get, just because the law of large numbers doesn't kick in. But certainly, to answer your main question, yes, it's the disparity by ethnicity and income is troubling, and I think that's something that the Obama administration is focused on. It so happens, just politically speaking, which is not my area, he feels like that's his strongest constituency is the lower income and the racial minorities. And so on the one hand, he just for social justice reasons wants to help them, but also because they're his voters, too.
Peter Coy, economics editor from Bloomberg Businessweek, my guest on WNYC. As we look at the February jobs numbers just out, a better-than-expected 227,000 additional payroll jobs created last month. And by the way, January's number got revised upward to 284,000 new jobs in that month. So over the last 2 months, more than a half a million new jobs created in the United States, according to the Labor Department. Carl in Warwick, you're on WNYC. Carl, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing?
All right.
I'm great. You know, it's nice to hear that we've got 227,000 jobs created. That's a great number. Are these minimum wage jobs or are these jobs at the CEO level?
Well, there may be something in between. If we had 227,000 new CEOs, that might not be such a bad thing. But, of course, it's a very important question. What sectors are creating these jobs and at what level of employment?
I can give you a payroll pay number, which is the average hourly earnings for all employees. Private non-farm payroll rose a wee bit, 3 cents. The average is now $23.31. And that's gone up about 2% over the last year. So it's not all minimum wage jobs, but certainly not all CEO jobs either. Going by sector, government actually lost jobs again slightly. The big gainers were the ones that we've seen to be big gainers in the past: professional business services, healthcare, right? Manufacturing went up again, which was a good one because the manufacturing had a huge gain in January, and a lot of people were saying there's going to be some give back there. That was a fluke. So to see it go up again is definitely a very positive sign. 31,000 manufacturing jobs created in February.
And you touch on an interesting thing there, the numbers for the public versus private sectors. In recent months, and I guess it's been continued in February, we've seen the private sector grow while public employees get laid off and public sector employment actually shrinks because the politics of shrinking government are prevalent right now, right?
Well, yeah. It's mostly on the state and local level because the state and local government finances are so, so squeezed. And unlike the federal government, most of them do not have the option of running deficits. They've got to try to run an even keel on their operating budget. So we see that happening even in states, in the listening area, having to put employees on furlough and so on, which is why, you know, a lot of the Keynesian economists would say that the federal government, at a time when you have the state and local sector and private business and households all cutting back, you know, into forced austerity, the federal government should be stepping up more to offset that, you know, to prime the pump to get the economy going again, after which then it can start to think more about austerity.
On the other hand, conservatives would say that shrinking government helps make room for the private sector to expand. Do you see any evidence of either, or is this really just a matter of philosophy and it's hard to prove?
It's not just a matter of philosophy. That's an excellent question, Brian, and you stated very well the conservative argument, sort of a crowding out case. And crowding out is what happens when an economy is at full employment, when pretty much everybody's working and all machines and so on are being put to use. And then the federal government comes in and starts spending a lot of money, and that squeezes out the private sector. That is not the situation we're in now. The situation we're in now is that there are enormous unused resources, people sitting at home who could be working and want to work, machines that are not being put to use. And, you know, it's a tragedy, and the way to get that going is for the government to kind of step in and prime the pump until the private sector kicks back in on its own.
Kevin in Williamsburg, you're on WNYC with Peter Coy from Business Week. Hello.
Hi there.
Go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, hi. I'm curious as to how all of this money that the Republicans are pouring into these super PACs might be affecting these jobs numbers. You know, I run a graphics firm, and I haven't seen any of it trickle down to me yet, but you have to assume that all of these people making these videos and these campaigns and these creatives are the beneficiaries of some of that money.
It sure was good for local TV stations in Super Tuesday states the last few weeks, I would imagine, Peter.
I just had totally not thought of that one. The unintended benefits that the Republican super PACs are giving to the economy and helping Obama's reelection chances. Fascinating hypothesis.
Well, the campaign season in general, I'm going to make a serious question out of this, and the Obama super PACs are going to be ramping up more and more as the general election season hits, and people complain about the amount of money in politics and, you know, for good reason. But if it's going to be $1 billion on one side and $1 billion on the other side, give or take, is that just a drop in the ocean in terms of the macroeconomic impact on the country, or is it something?
I would say I would lean towards the drop in the ocean in a $15 trillion economy. It will help certain sectors very clearly, you know, graphic artists, the TV stations, and so on. But it's hard to see how that would show up as meaningful to the overall economy.
By the way, one of those skeptics on our webpage posts this question. Please ask Peter Coy why the numbers released by the administration are consistently better than Gallup's economic index tables. They both use the same raw data. How are they spinning them, and what's their explanation? First of all, do you know them to be different? And since the Labor Department is part of whatever administration is in power, are these numbers political or absolutely non-spun?
On the Gallup thing, I did see somebody writing this morning who had a very technical explanation for the difference between them. And unfortunately, I didn't read it closely enough to be able to give an explanation. But on the bigger point, no, I don't think the numbers are spun. I heard somebody on Wall Street, a trader on the floor of the stock exchange yesterday, who I was on with on a, you know, Bloomberg TV, kind of giving the idea, oh, the government-run BLS is trying to help Obama's reelection chances. I know the BLS pretty well.
BLS, we should.
Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Yes,
right?
not the
Labor Department.
Not the Brian Lehrer Show.
Oh, right. Well, that's also a clean organization. But I was talking about the right.
We're taking that endorsement to the bank. Go ahead.
Bureau of Labor Statistics, whether Republicans are in office or Democrats, is very non-political organization. They're very sealed off from political pressure, and that's, you know, a great thing because it means that we can trust the numbers. You know, Argentina has been lying about its consumer price index for years and has completely lost credibility. And the U.S., that doesn't happen. The numbers are what the numbers are. They can get them wrong sometimes, but it's just because of a data collection problem, not because of somebody skewing it for political purposes.
We're almost out of time. Then we're going to go to our New Jersey editor, Nancy Solomon, who's at the Darun Ravi courtroom, looking at the midpoint of that trial now that the prosecution has rested. But to finish up on the politics of these jobs numbers today, these positive jobs numbers, obviously, since jobs are probably the most important factor to whether President Obama or any president gets reelected in most situations, how much should they be partying at campaign headquarters today and how much just having a cautious extra sip of coffee? Answer that in a minute. Here's how Mitt Romney, because of even last month's upturn, has had to start making his argument.
My friends, the truth is 8% unemployment is not the best America can do. It's just the best that this administration can do.
And on the other side, President Obama from his news conference the other day being able to say things like this.
Now, we've clearly seen some positive economic news over the last few months. Businesses have created about 3.7 million new jobs over the last 2 years. Manufacturers are hiring for the first time since the 1990s. The auto industry is back and hiring more than 200,000 people over the last few years. Confidence is up, and the economy is getting stronger. But there are still millions of Americans who can't find a job. There are millions more who are having a tough time making the rent or the mortgage, paying for gas or groceries. So our job in Washington isn't to sit back and do nothing, and it's certainly not to stand in the way of the recovery. Right now, we've got to do everything we can to speed it up.
So President Obama taking credit for improvement, but still needing to be cautious because a lot of people obviously are still suffering in America today economically. Mitt Romney reduced to saying, hey, yeah, things are getting better, but I could make them even better. So, Peter Coy, before you go, a quick word on the new politics based on today's job numbers. How much do they change?
This clearly helps Obama. I must say, last spring, there were 3 months in a row of 200,000-plus job growth, and then suddenly in May, we went to 54,000. So that's the nightmare for the Obama administration, that this is yet another false spring. So the last thing they want to do is crow about this and declare mission accomplished.
By the way, our producer, Jody Avergan, just looked up those Gallup numbers and reports that from what he could tell, the recent Gallup poll that got everybody scared, it showed unemployment over 9%, was not seasonally adjusted. If you compare Gallup's poll last year to this, it shows the same percentage drop in unemployment as the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So that might be the explanation.
Thank you. That's what I remember reading. That's very good. Thanks, Jody.
Explanation of the disparity. And thanks to Peter Coy, economics editor for Bloomberg Businessweek, for coming on and discussing these positive new jobs numbers out this morning from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And next we will hear from Nancy Solomon from the Darun Ravi trial courtroom, summing up the prosecution's case now that they have rested. And we'll ask, is the trial itself violating Tyler Clemente's privacy yet again, and maybe everybody's? Clemente's even in death. Stay with us.